sin may rise and hide the starry sky. But just a little talk with Jesus clears away. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry.
Thank you. place to go see. I love the Lord deep down in my heart. I love the Lord deep down in my heart. Not an earthly chain can cause us to part. I've been made of such boundless, precious, glorious love, the Savior sends from heaven above. From His dear side, I'll never depart. It fills my soul with wonderful joy and drives away the things that annoy. I love the Lord deep down in my heart.
You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I've been hiding, afraid I've let you down, inside a doubt that you still love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Oh, how can it be? You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that
my sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy. And Lord, I will serve you until my dying day. Help others find the way. I'm at your mercy. Please forgive me. I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for someone like me. But you know, I read in a Bible that old story, how he bled for mine and your forgiveness while he was dying on that old tree. Please forgive me, I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you, I'm at your mercy, and Lord, I will serve you until my dying days to help others find the way. I'm at your mercy, please forgive me.
Y'all want to sing that second verse one more time? And I was thinking about that on the chorus there. To lead others, help others find the way. You know, I thought about when I was singing that verse right there. And your brother Jason, your brother James, you know what I'm talking about here. Sometimes you sing a song and things hit you a little bit. I thought, you know what? How many of us have forgotten that we're trying to lead others to the way? There's nothing going through it. That's the only reason we're here this evening. That we come together, we fellowship with one another, and we grow together. But the purpose of us as God's children is to lead others and help them find the way to the one that can make their life whole, and that being Jesus Christ this evening.
Yeah, that's right.
So many times we get sidetracked and we get busy with our own schedules, Brother James. We forget about the reason that we're here. The reason that God put us here, church, is to be a light to this lost and dying world, that through us he can be seen throughout the world. That we can help them find a way. Someone helped me find a way years ago. Sister Shirley, as a teenager, it may be my grandparents, it may be them that brought me out of the church, but they helped me find the way. They helped me see there was a better way.
I can't believe the God of earth and glory would take the time to care for someone like me. But you know, I read in a Bible that old story, how he pled for mine and your forgiveness while he was dying on that old tree. Please forgive me, I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you, I'm at your mercy, and Lord, I will serve you until my dying days to help others find the way. I'm at your mercy, please forgive me.
Amen.
Amen.
There is an unseen hand to me that leads through ways I cannot see. While going through this world of woe, this hand still leads trusting to God's unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by his unseen hand. God's hand has led through shadows dream. guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by His unseen hand. I long to see my Savior's face and sing the story, saved by grace. And there upon the golden land, I'll praise Him for His guiding hand. Jesus came so we might have life. He is the way, the truth, and life. Whosoever will call upon His name. Thou shalt be saved. Trust Him today. I'm trusting to God's unseen hand that guides me through this weary land. And some sweet day I'll reach that strand, still guided by His unseen hand.
Everybody got Ephesians chapter number 5? Say amen. Amen. Huh? Good singing tonight, wasn't it? Everybody all right? Feel pretty good. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm going to read at the 15th and 16th verse. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say hold up. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter number 5, at verse number 15 and verse number 16. He said, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Lord Father, one more time this evening. We thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for all that singing, Lord Father, and thank you for the scriptures that's been read, the testimonies that's been given. Father, we thank you for the rich blessings that you've given us in our life today. And Father, we shall thank you for it, Lord Father, one more time. But Lord, here we are again. We're in this place, Lord Father, in your house. And we're glad to be here, Lord. But we need you, Lord Father, to anoint us, Lord Father. Anoint this message. Anoint these words. Anoint my words, Lord Father. And preach through us, Lord God, this message. Father, I pray tonight, Lord Father, that you not leave us unchanged. Lord, I pray that we desire change in our life. Be changed into the image of your dear Son. We've already been translated into the kingdom, Lord, but we want to be more like your Son, that we might win folk, Lord. The Apostle Paul said he become as the barbarian, he come as the Jew, he become as the Greek, that he might win some, Lord Father. And I know, Lord Father, that this Bible is true, not all is going to believe, but God, we want to try to get them all to believe. And God, we pray tonight, Lord Father, that you help us to apply this to our life. Help the lost, Lord Father, that might be here tonight, that they may see their need of salvation and needing of a Savior and needing of a Lord. And Father, if there be any here that's saved, Lord Father, and have been born again, but needing to move up to you and get things right and get things cleared up in their life, Father, we pray the same for them, that they would move. It's in your Son's sweet, precious, holy, righteous name that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. I want to preach on redeeming the time. I want to redeem the time. The Apostle Paul here, many of his writings, he's writing under the Church of Ephesus. And the Church of Ephesus, no doubt, is a great book. It's a book that gets quoted a lot in chapter number 2 when it comes to the part of the salvation and things of that nature. But the Apostle Paul here is addressing in the Church to Ephesus, the Church of Ephesus, in chapter number 5 about redeeming the time. There ever was a day that this message or this letter can be read, and the part of redeeming the time today sure is a good day. I'm reminded, and even of my own self, about how precious time truly is. Time, as we've said many times, does not hold up for nobody. Time does not wait for nobody. Only two places in scriptures have I ever read where God would move the sun or move the shadow back so that folks could have more time. And I'm telling you this today, unless God intervenes with time, it never stops. It keeps marching on and marching on. Life appears for a little moment. Some folks has even said, it seems like it was yesterday. I was a little child running and playing, and now today I'm ready to retire from my work as a vocation or retire from my job. But I do know this, that time is so precious and time is of the essence, and it cannot be wasted or squandered. Time should be the things that we could be used for gaining useful knowledge. We should use time in the things to doing good for others. We should use time as employing it for the purpose of an honest livelihood for themselves and their families. Time should be taken for prayer and self-examination to make the heart better. Time should be took for seeking salvation and endeavoring to do the will of God. But it seems like today that those things, I believe in just those things right there, if a man or a woman or a boy or a girl spent their days with just those five things, seeking knowledge and doing good to others and having an honest livelihood and working for themselves or for their family, praying, examining themselves, and seeking in salvation and endeavoring to do the will of God, that's an all-day event for everybody if they would apply themselves. And can I say tonight, that's the same thing when it goes to all of us, even as saved people. Sometimes time just keeps moving. I don't know if anybody's ever said this, there's not enough hours in the day to get things done. I've heard some people say they need that eighth day of the week to get things caught up. But really, when you think about it, just when you think you got things put together or things caught up, something always comes up and seems like it's got you put behind. But the one thing that we cannot do and afford to do is to let that time slip away. We should always be about the things that can be done during time. As we said, time nowadays is misspent, it's misused, it's squandered, it's wasted time. Just keeps going on. So often we don't do the things that God has us to do. But when the Apostle Paul says to redeem the time, he's letting the church of Ephesus know that time is of the essence and time is so important. Do you know this, that you'll never get a second chance to make that first impression ever again? When a lot of times people don't understand when it comes that first impression that you make to individuals, as Brother James was saying, that you ought to shake that young man's hand or that man's hand that comes during Sunday school. Can I say that the impression that we give off the first time a lot of times is the impression that people keep near and dear to their heart when it comes to another individual? Y'all hearing this, preacher? And I tell you, sometimes the Bible says that we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But sometimes we got it backwards and we're about as wise as a dove and we're about as harmful as a serpent. Ain't that right? And I'm telling you, the first impression that we give off ought to be the impression of God's love. And somebody says, preacher, why should we give that impression? Because you never get that time and opportunity back to show exactly what it truly means to have God in their life. I've often amazed at time how when time is squandered. As I told you this morning, I was talking to an individual yesterday and spent so much time with him and talking about things of life. He looked at me and he said, Jason, I'm going to be 30 years old. He said, and things ain't looking good for me. I said, you can't turn back the hands of time and you can't fix the things that you've messed up. Trust me, I would love to be able to go back and fix mine. But I'm saying, but what you've got is right now. All you've got is right now. And what you need to do is use that time wisely and get yourself to the Lord. Run to God and run to Jesus and ask Him to intervene. Can I say this? It's not just a good advice or good counsel to the lost person, but it's good advice and good counsel to the saved individual. I don't care if you're 8 years old or you're 80 years old. You should use today as the day that you've got and don't look back to yesterday. The Apostle Paul says he forgets the things that are behind and he presses ever forwards towards the calling of the high mark, the prize in Christ Jesus. Oh, can I say tonight, we ain't got time to look back and say, God, forgive me for the things that we once did as we was young. Don't get me wrong, I think we should ask God to forgive us. But once He's forgiven us, the Bible says He's just and faithful to do it. And He cleanses up from all unrighteousness. But sometimes we waste time by looking on the things that are behind. How things could have been.
how things might have been. If I made a different choice, if I went in a different direction, oh, how could things be so much better? Can I say this? You could spend all the rest of your days second guessing yourself, playing armchair quarterback. Hindsight is always 20/20. But the one thing God's looking for is to redeem the time and ever keep pushing forward. Can I say this tonight? Redeeming the time. To redeem it means you need to purchase it. You need to buy it. You need to save it. You need to do something about time. You need to keep it close to you. Buy it. Save it. Recall it. Compensate it. Free it up. He said, whatever you do when it comes to time, do whatever you can to have that time to do something and do something with God. Can I say this? It'll never disappoint. It'll never be a bad choice to sacrifice yourself from doing things that would satisfy your flesh and do some things that would help a lost person see Jesus or see the cross of Calvary. And can I say tonight, it would never be detrimental to your life if you sacrifice the things that would please your flesh and do something that would help your church member or your brother and sister in the house of God and which you go to church with. It's always beneficial to sacrifice to lift them up. The Bible says, Paul spoke to the church of Galatia, it's better for me to lift you up than it is to lift up myself. He told the church of Philippi, it's better for me to bear James's burden than it is to bear my burden. And if we all come together in one mind and one accord and lift up Jesus and breaking bread from house to house and continue in the apostles' doctrine, I believe we could see 3,000 souls saved in today's day and time. You might say, preacher, how do you figure that? Well, if it was good enough and he put it in the Bible, that means it's good enough today, and we can have it in our modern time, but we got to redeem the time to do it. So often we're in the time set of trying to get things done, trying to get things prepared. People's trying to seek a job or a vocation to get settled, to have the rest of life and keep moving. Don't get me wrong. I think you ought to get you a job. If you're able to work, you ought to be able to work. The Bible says a man don't work, you ought not to eat. And that is correct. But so many times people take that and they run so far with it that all they do is work and work and work and work and work and work and work. And they never take time for God. They never take time to do what God have them to do. I've heard people tell me, and some people's even got mad at me over this. And I've heard people say, well, preacher, you know, you do have to surrender and you have to do the things that the workplace tells you. I look at them and say, well, I do agree with that to a point. But when it comes to me and my God, I ain't surrendering to nobody. And I'm going to follow the Lord. God has always made a way for his children. God will continue to make a way for his children. And I want to follow him and redeem the time so he can make it for me. So many times in today's day, we're not only looking for the vocation to establish the job, we're trying to do things to put things aside for our children. And can I tell you this? I agree 100% that you ought to put something back to help your children, to show them and to train them. But so many times people go overboard with it. And the one thing that they ought to do is instead of working, putting money back for them or buying play parties for them, they ought to sacrifice a little bit of time and share Jesus with them in the house. Take a little time and show them how to pray. Take a little time and show them what that word of God means. Spend a little time with them. You say, preacher, do you do it? Absolutely, at times I do it. But there's been times that I have not redeemed the times and I've squandered them away. May I remind everybody, even though it is in that church covenant, but it's also in this Bible spelled out that we ought to have them secret devotions at the house with our families. That's not saying having home church and missing out on the church that you're a member of, but it is saying take the time, redeem the time, save the time for a family to get closer to God. May I remind everybody, before prayer was taken out of the school, it was taken out of the home. May I remind everybody, before the Ten Commandments was took down off the courthouses, they were taken out of the home. Before people start complaining, saying that they had put an antichrist in the office, they got to realize it was antichrist in their thinking and their decision making. Somebody say amen right there. But too many times we neglect the time that we have. We let it go. The Bible says in Psalm chapter number 90 and verse number 12, David wrote and said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He's saying, Lord, let us know about how we're supposed to spend our time. David sought the Lord. David sought his face. David seeked him and try to find things that was good. He had to say, Lord, let me know just how frail my life is because I need to seek out you. I've heard people sometimes, they'll say, well, I ain't got time to stop and pray. If you're going somewhere, throw it up in the car. If you're at home before you're fixing supper, throw it up while you're fixing supper. Sometimes I've been sitting there and been guilty. I've burnt my hand many a time working on that stove, trying to get a fire stoked up, and burnt my hand trying to do two things at once. I'm telling you, it's time that we stop doing the things that satisfies the flesh and may come in line with the world and do the things that God wants us to do and redeem the time, for the days they are evil. And Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 1, this goes not only to the youth, to the young people, but it goes to all of us. It says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And somebody says, preacher, what do you have? That's always for the young people. But the part that got me in this scripture is not only was it talking about young folks to remember the Lord in the days of their youth, but it says, while the evil days come not. Notice it was saying, while the evil days weren't there, he was saying, remember the Lord, remember the Lord, remember the Lord. Why was he saying that for? Because in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 16, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Evil times have come. And if you'd ever made no time for God when times were good, I'm telling you, you'll get so concerned, you'll get so disconfused or cattywampus, and you're thinking, you won't make time when the evil days come. They'll come upon you and consume you. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Can I say this tonight? In Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And most of you know, if you go on now into the next 6 or 7 verses, it says there's a time to live and a time to die, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh and a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. Don't want you to realize something. Time is so precious, and time is so important, that when we not look at the things that are most important in our life, we not seek the things that God wants us to have, it causes consequences we can't get back. I was sitting there Friday and having doing a funeral of an individual, and I began to look at the pictures that they had upon the bulletin board in the funeral home, and I was looking at the pictures of this individual while they was a child. And Vicky, that little child, had smiles upon his face. He was smiling about every picture you could think of. But when them pictures jumped from a yellow-sided kid about 5 or 6 years old to an adult who was in his 20s and into his 20s, that smile was no longer there. There was a lost look in that individual's eyes. There was a lost look in that individual's facial expression. And I was told of some of the things, how he spent the short life that he had. And I got to looking at it and said, the times were not spent redeeming the times and making sure that things were good for God or good for them in their life. But times were spent, and the only thing that they knew, and that was the sins of the world. And that is correct. But can I say this tonight? I didn't look at that individual as a nasty individual. I didn't look at them as someone who just tossed it all away. But Brother Eddie, I looked at myself and said, oh God, if I'd ever come in contact with him, would I have been able to make a difference in their life? Maybe would I have been able to say something that could have drawn them towards Jesus? Maybe if I just took a little time out and shared the gospel with somebody and said, you know, God really does love you. He's not like everybody else and says he really does love you. Why other people think that we're mean, we're not mean. We love you. We just hate sin and hate the devil. And we want the best for you. I wonder, as I was sitting there talking to that young girl in Kroger's yesterday, as we was talking and they began to tell us about her family, I wanted to hug her up and take her home and have Tammy love on her, because somebody's needing some time to be set aside for them to hear about God and hear about God loves them. Too many times we take the time to complain about things, and too many times we waste our time complaining about things that we have no control over. My daddy told me, and it worked when I was, and it still works today. He said, Jason, I wouldn't worry about things you can't change. He said, because if you worry about the things you can't change, you can't get the things done that you can change. Oh, can I say this tonight? I can't change you, but if I redeem the time to ask God to change me that I might be able to help you, I think we can get somewhere in this thing called the gospel. I sat there and thought to myself, God has really opened my eyes to some things where I thought I was doing pretty good. And don't get me wrong, he wasn't killing me over it, but he let me know. He said, Jason, redeem the time. The first thing he said was, see that you walk circumspectly. And that walking circumspectly is, you got to be cautious how you walk. You got to watch how you walk. You got to look on every side. He said, don't walk as the fool walks. He says, walk circumspectly. You know, that's the hardest thing for me to do is watch how I walk. The guys at work, they make fun of me. They wonder why I go through shoes all the time. And Brother Tom, I guess when I walk, I kick my heel out that way, and I rub off the back side of that right side of the heel, and it looks like someone just took a knife and just cut the whole part of the heel off. And they make fun of how I walk. They sit there, and they'll kick in boots. They say, here comes Faulkner. Here comes Preachy. Here he comes kicking in boots. And they make fun of me. But I'm sitting there thinking to myself when God opened up my eyes, and I ain't saying that, I wasn't upset they can make fun of the way I walk. But God began to deal with my heart, how I walk in front of my family and how I walk in front of the lost and dying world. I tell you what, if there's ever a, I'm telling you, if ever is there a flaw in a Christian, I'm telling you the world's going to point it out. They'll look and they'll do nothing. They'll love to spend their time is to find something wrong with us. And I ain't kidding either. Oh, they'll try to find everything they can to nitpick you, nitpick the way you are, your disposition or your attitude or the way you do this or the way you do that. They'll nitpick and they'll nitpick and they'll nitpick. And somebody says, well, we shouldn't have to watch the way we walk. Well, yeah, we should, because the Bible said we ought to watch the way we walk. We got to walk circumspectly in front of them. I'm not trying to compromise. And somebody was asking me here recently. They said, Jason, are you a compromiser? I said, no, I don't believe in compromise. But I do understand this. There's sometimes I give up some things that I might win them. I try to become in a position where I can talk to the individual. And that's one of the hardest things to do, Brother James, is to get on their level. Sometimes they're negative and sometimes they're complaining. And I try to shut those things out. But God's telling me, he said, Jason, call a timeout. Redeem this time. Get next to them, love them, and tell them about my son. Time's fastly pushing aside, and we can't stop it. I got to looking at all these scriptures. I got to looking at these things, and it was something that God showed me in here. What's the best way we can use our time? Because sometimes people says, preacher, when, how do I redeem the time? How can I stop time? What can I do to make this better? Well, the first two verses, if you do this in all of the time that you have, it says, be ye their followers of God as dear children. This is chapter 5, verse 1. He says, be ye a follower of God as dear children. He says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. He says, walk as like you're a child of God. Can I remind somebody to you all, some of you folks may not understand it, but you're God's kid. You ain't supposed to be living down in the dungeons and down here in the deep dark places and never getting nothing, just barely scraping by. You're God's kid. You're a king's kid. You're royalty. You got royal blood flowing through your veins. Oh, I know. Don't get me wrong. Some people says, well, preacher, I'm worthless and I'm a worm and I don't deserve nothing. And I understand that way of thinking. But sometimes people spend their whole life thinking, I'm worthless and I'm worth nothing. Well, who do you think God uses through? He works through his church. And if he's working through the church, then evidently he wants to use us. And God don't use junk. He uses his children. I thank God I'm God's kid. I'm thankful I can call him Father and walk as a dear child. Walk as we're his. Walk as who we belong to. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Can I say this? When I was growing up, my daddy always told me, he said, boy, you always remember what name you represent. He said, always remember what your last name is. And when you're out there in that world, you know that everybody's going to know your last name's Faulkner, and they're going to know you're my kid. That's the way I was raised. And he did, I made fun of it for a while. I said, he's like the Kentucky Mafia. I mean, you had to take care of that name or else they'd come down hard upon you. Everything was about that name. Everything was about that name. And it didn't make much sense to me, Sister Vicky, until I got a little older, until I got married and started having some kids, and then began to rub off on me. It's not that my daddy didn't want me to embarrass him, but he wanted me to walk right in front of everybody else. He wanted me to walk a clean life and a respectable life and be respected by my neighbors and be respected by others and respect others. What can I say? In God's family, in God's children, he says we ought to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but we ought to walk in love. Walk like you belong to God. Walk because he loves us and we love him. Is anybody else hearing this, preacher? He says we ought to walk as we're in love. We should walk in love. Secondly, don't act like the world. That's why he said walk not as fools. Third verse says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. And he said in the fifth verse, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now I want to stop right there, and I want to get this out and try to get it the best way. And I'm going to ask God to help me so much. He's wanting me to give these words, but I got to make sure I give it in the right connotation. So many people are so afraid to call a spade a spade. That's not that you're judging. Can I say this tonight? If you see me getting sideways, as we call it, if you see me getting out of line, is if you call it, or if you see me doing something that's sinful, as the scripture says, don't let these things be named among you. Would you please pull me aside and say, Jason, I can see some things that's not lining up with scripture. And the first time someone gets, or it's the first time that happens, I'll be honest with you, it will bother me in my flesh. It will make me mad. It will stir me. But can I tell you, the Bible says that we ought to go to them that's been overtaken in a fault and help them realize and help them to get right. I know it ain't popular preaching, but it sure is Bible preaching. And as long as God's saying to preach it, we're still going to preach it. Somebody say amen right there. But he says it should not be named among you. I've heard people say, well, preacher, you all's too rough and you don't allow people to live a life and you don't allow them. You're just too strict. And they'll go to a church which is so loose and they ain't got no standards and don't use the Bible. And there's people that's marrying and giving a marriage. They're leaving their spouses and shacking up with other people in the church house. And they think everything's all right because God's some old grandpa living up in heaven who forgives everything and lets everything pass by. There's only one thing wrong with that. God's got a hand of mercy, and he's got a hand of wrath, and it comes upon us when judgment's over. And he says, don't let these things be named among you. We can't walk like the world. And I know people get upset and say, well, that's for the preachers, or that's for them hardliners, that's for them crazy Christian people. But there's the hardest thing to explain. And some people say, well, you don't have to explain it. Well, then tell them off when they come to you and say, can you explain so-and-so to me? And Lisa, I can't explain them. And it's hard because what I want to point their eyes to is towards Christ and the cross, but their eyes is focused on the things that shouldn't be named amongst the church. Y'all hearing this, preacher? That's like whenever they... When the pedophiles got busted in the Catholic Church, all them people was really bad-mouthing the Catholic Church. But I never forget when the newspapers hit and one got busted in the Baptist Church and they all was sitting there trying to cover up and they all didn't want to explain things and lost people was coming saying, oh, now hold up now, you was just bad-mouthing them Catholic people. Now it's in your Baptist Church, what are you supposed to do? And they got to sit there and give some kind of answer. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Don't get me wrong. You don't know who's saved and who's not. And you can't just say, well, then people just did this and people did that. But I'm telling you, it helps a whole lot when we all redeem the time. When I go to Walmart, I try to dress in a certain way. I mean, I'm not sitting there saying that I'd wear a three-piece suit. But I try to walk and act a certain way, the way God says for me to act. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Is this standard preaching? Huh? Is this standard preaching? Some folks get mad on that. But I'm sitting there telling you, but when people says, well, so-and-so, one time I was asking me, somebody come up to me and said, do you want to buy this? You want to buy that off of me? And they said, I'll be selling down here on the corner of the church driveway, on the church driveway, and it's a local church. I drove by there, and the person is wanting me to sell something. They were wanting me to buy something off of them. They had on a pair of short jean shorts and a bikini top on, standing out in front of the church, waving a big old banner saying, buy this, buy this, buy this. Y'all look at me like a calf looking at a brand new gate. It happened! And that person keeps telling me they're saved and they're saved and they're saved. And I don't say nothing. I talk to them about the Lord. I don't judge them. I don't say nothing. I don't bring up the things I saw in the past. But when it's the other people that comes up and said, hey, preacher, do you believe so-and-so saved like they say? I said, I go by their testimony. Well, they'd say, well, explain this, explain this, and explain this. And I got to stand there and say, I can't explain it for them. I can only tell you what God's Word says. But as soon as you tell what God's Word says, folks get bent. We shouldn't. We should love, walk in love, and walk like God's children and not act like the world. And verses 6 through 10, it says we should walk in the Spirit. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, is what he's saying. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And verse number 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. This is the preaching that folks say that it's hurtful. But Paul says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. He says, don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. You said, preacher, that's hard. Absolutely it is in this world. That's why Paul says, redeem the time. Redeem it. Redeem it. Redeem it. Do what you can. I wonder, I'll say this because, and I'm about to come to a close. Old Buzz, you remember Buzz, don't you, Tammy? Buzz, next door neighbor. Old Buzz, your next door neighbor. Buzz, great big old mountain of a man. Talked real deep. Tired from GM. Had money left and right. I mean, he had it stockpiled. And every time I'd start to talk to him about the Lord, he'd huff a little bit, and I kind of just put my head down and walk away. And he started getting sick. And his health started going downhill. And the Lord nudged me. He said, Jason, go over and talk to Buzz about him. About his soul. I said, I will, Lord, I will, I will. I'd get off work, I had something else to do. I'd get off work, I had something else to do. I'd get off work, I had something else to do. Weekend come. At that time, I was working weekends. Get off work, I had something to do. The days I had off, I'd say, well, that's my time. That's my time. That's my time. Never forget, I was sitting in church. It wasn't long after I had a cell phone, I got a text message. Or a phone call, I think it was. Buzz died. And as far as I knew, I don't know if anybody ever had. I wasn't concerned about nobody else. I was concerned about what God was wanting me to do. And Paul, I sat there and cried. Because God said, make time, Jason, to go tell Buzz about his soul and make it right. I sat here this past week, and God's telling me to share this with you, because we all come in contact with this, if not every day, every week. I come in contact and had to do a funeral over an individual who took his own life, because life just, he couldn't find a way out. And then talk to another one the same age who's facing prison time, because the life that he lived, he thought that he could control it. And God said, Jason, when does another person's soul cost less than your time? And I had to ask God to forgive me. You said, preacher, what do we do? Well, I asked God to forgive me, and this is what he showed me. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, he said, that knowing the time, that is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. I hope no one takes this the wrong way, but we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up. It's not about me. God done saved me. He's done blessed me, Jeff, more than I could ever imagine being blessed. Whew. Jeff, and I love you with all your heart, with all my heart, and I know it's not about you, but it's about these lost people. Christian, love you with all my heart, but it's not about you. God's done saved your soul. about these lost people. And he says that we just need to wake up our sleep, for now is our salvation near than we believed. And he said, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in the strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for you for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I've had people tell me, and this probably goes, we're God's ministry. This is God's ministry. This church is God's ministry. And he saved every single one of us and put us in his ministry. And there's a ministration work that he wants all of us to do. Some people think that a ministry is a piece of paper with a title next to it and you sign your name up, and those things are needed. But that's not the ministry that God's got for all of us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, it's a ministry of reconciliation. He's given us that ministry. He's given us the words to tell folks. Paul, we're supposed to tell them that you've been reconciled unto God through and by Jesus Christ. Yeah, you've sinned and we've come short, but God doesn't want to kill us. He loves us and wants to save us. That's our ministry. Reconciliation. And I know sometimes it's hard to swallow. And I don't think I'm the only one that gets these things or these revelations put in front of me. But I was talking to someone here recently, and it seems like so many times we get caught up in the things that we like to see, or get caught up in the things that we want to see done, and we neglect and we don't get why we're here. The reason why we're here is to spread that ministry of reconciliation. It starts by walking in love and loving one another. Somebody say amen right there. Love, I love you. I don't know if you love me, but I do. I love you. And I want to work with you and with God. I wonder tonight, as we start this week off, if we get us a song. Actually, I want Christian to come, Jeff and Paul, if you want to come. I don't want no words. I just want music. I want G. I want Amazing Grace. That's what God's picking. I wonder tonight, as we look upon last week, if we look back and said, you know, I probably should have stopped and talked to that individual. Took time out and said, you know what? God loves you. I wonder, I know I could look back and kick myself. There's people I should have talked to, and I didn't take the time. Sometimes it's too late, and you wait too late, and that's a sick feeling to have in your gut to walk with for the rest of your life. And I know that judgment begins, and I know I was judged on that, and I know I'm guilty on that, but just the sure knowing that I missed the time is a sick feeling in my stomach that never leaves. So instead of me thinking, or you thinking on what happened last week, I wonder if anybody would be willing to pray tonight and say, God, send me to somebody. Send somebody my way that I may share the love of Christ with them. That they may, maybe not then, but maybe down the road, you'll deal with their heart and they'll get saved. Or maybe you'll deal with their heart and God, they'll come back to church where they ought to be.